podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
I love how when you go back to stay with your parents, you get to enjoy the creature comforts that you've forgotten exist since you've moved into your own place.
Yeah.
Things like food in the fridge or in the cupboard, you know?
Just everything being there.
Yeah, everything being there at all times. I mean, is the case at my house because mum is the hostess with the mostest, you know? Yeah, so if someone pops in, she's like, oh, I can make a charcuterie board right now. Someone pops into my house, I'm like, I don't even have sugar.
Pickle?
We've got pickles.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Can I offer you some coriander that's growing in the background? But yeah, so when you go and you stay at your parents' house for the weekend, it's like, oh, I remember what this is like.
Yeah.
Sheets that are thicker quality, you know, that's one of the main ones.
Mm.
Beds that are made so tightly, you just feel really wrapped in.
Mm.
And it's like the air smells different. You can tell that the curtains have been washed in the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah,
beautiful.
True.
These little things. There's no mold in there.
Yeah.
It's just nice. But when I speak about sheets, yes, bed sheets, they're like 2000 count quality or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the toilet paper sheets that really, really make me happy.
They buy the good toilet paper.
I'm talking 5-ply.
Wow. That seems like...
Now...
It's like triple smoked ham. That's too many smokes.
No. Well, this is the thing. I remember I was, you know, too much information, but when we stayed there on the weekend, you know, I had to go to the bathroom.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And one time, because you know me,
just
hold it in.
Yeah.
And then as I, you know, used the toilet paper, I was like, my body was like, hang on a minute.
I like this.
I really like this. And I was like, this is how boomers are living all the time.
Oh, yeah.
No 2-ply.
No.
No 1-ply. No cardboard. Like delicious, not delicious, nice sheets of creamy.
Luxurious. Creamy.
Sorry. Like, I'm trying to paint a picture, but I'm not great with words.
You're using all the wrong words, but we see what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Softness.
The perfect example of how boomers were the last generation to be able to do, like, normal things in life and have things.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they bought their house for $35,000.
Yeah.
Right? It's paid off.
Yeah.
And they can afford the 5-ply.
It's a real great metaphor for life, isn't it? The less, like, as the generations go on, the plies, they peel away.
They do peel away until they go back again.
Yeah.
Before you know it, we'll be wiping with leaves and then we'll be back to 5-ply again.
Yeah, well.
Millennials, it's a hard timeline we're living in.
We're the 2-ply generation. That makes me really worried for what the children will have to wipe with.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
This year is another one of those years where there is a large sports gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And in this year, it's cold.
It's a cold sports event.
Yes.
And there's certain legalities about us mentioning it.
And
it hasn't officially started yet. So we've still got about 2 days to roll the official names, but we're scared.
Yeah. So a man who is officially allowed to because he works for Channel 9 and they have the rights to all of it, he's not just a star from Australian Survivor. He's also done a bit of the cold weather gear himself. His name's Stephen Bradbury. Good morning,
hey.
Stephen.
Good morning, guys. A large sports gathering.
Yes.
Let's just leave out the Olympics. We'll just go with that.
Yeah.
Can say it.
Yeah.
We can't. We get in trouble. Are you wearing your big yellow lanyard at the moment at all? The one that you won for the cold sports event back in the day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that certain coloured medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually wear it around the house.
Yeah, nice.
In the morning.
That's good.
Where is it? No, you don't have to tell us exactly. Like, I'm not going to break into your house, but do you keep it? You have it framed? Where is it?
It usually sits in the sock drawer, and you know, I speak at conferences and events fairly regularly, so it does a bit of talking for you. And you know, sometimes people get a little bit inspired when they actually get to touch an Olympic gold medal, and you know, maybe that gives them a little bit more drive to. You know, a bit more pep in their step when they get out of bed for those early morning starts.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. It's so exciting that you are a part of this commentary team. It all kicks off in the early hours of Friday morning. Are you excited? And what are the Aussies' chances of bringing home the yellow lanyard?
Or maybe the slightly grey coloured one, or the slightly copper coloured one.
Yes,
we've got loads of Olympic medal chances, and yeah, Nine and Stan are doing a fantastic job plugging the crap out of the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
Which every time I see it advertised on the television, it gets me excited. The adrenaline's pumping already. I'm commentating the short track and the speed skating, which are obviously very close to home for me.
Mm-hmm.
That the main chances that we got for gold, and there's a pretty long list. Scotty James in his fifth Olympics, just won the X Games the other day.
Yes.
Jakara Anthony defending gold in the women's moguls, Matt Graham in the men's moguls, bobsled Bree in the monobob, Danielle Scott and Laura Peel in the aerials, and the list really just does go on and on.
I love the idea that you could tell people, what's your specialty? I get involved with the monobob.
I'm a monobobber.
We're excited for Jakara Anthony, obviously a local down here, getting right behind her. What's her chances of going back-to-back for gold in the women's moguls?
Oh, she'll be a short odds favourite. She's been winning World Cups again this season. And there's a new event in the moguls this year, which is a dual moguls, which is slightly more geared towards speed rather than technique. And there's another young Aussie girl who could win that too. Her name's Charlotte Wilson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the Australian Winter Olympic team, second largest winter team ever, and number of medal chances is just enormous. Our record haul at the Winter Games is 4 medals. I think this time we're probably looking at somewhere around 6.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, at the summer event that happened recently, there was a new sport in breakdancing. Are we bringing breakdancing to the ice? Ice breaking? Ice dancing? Or what is the new event for this year?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that breakdancing is ever going to appear in the Olympic Games again. What was that girl's name? I've forgotten already.
Don't say it. She'll sue ya.
She'll sue ya. That's worse than saying Olympics.
There is a winter sport called ice climbing.
Yeah.
Which is, with a pick and an axe where you climb up an ice wall. It hasn't quite made an Olympic appearance as yet, but who knows?
A lot of assassins in that one, which is fun. And I've also heard that, is it ski-mo? Which is like ski mountaineering. That sounds like a lot of work.
That's the new one, ski mountaineering. Yeah, I know pretty much zero about that one.
I thought that, right? So you've got your specialties. You're an ice skating guy, and I'm sure you're across quite a few of the other sports. But if you're stepping into this role as one of the key commentators, have you had to learn a lot about other different sports, And this is particularly because I guess the frozen stuff, the winter stuff, is not so familiar to us here in Australia.
Yeah, well, the ski mountaineering, not so much. We don't have any competitors in that one. But I've got a pretty good knowledge base, having competed at the Winter Olympics 4 times, and this is my fifth role within the media in the Winter Games. And we've got the bobsled Bree that you guys mentioned. We've never won a medal in bobsled before.
Yeah,
we've got a speed skater. His name is Brendan Corey. He's an outside chance for a medal in the 1500 in short track.
Yeah, right.
So, the number of athletes that are training in complete obscurity most of the time that every Australian's going to watch once the Winter Games start, which to me is amazing that the ratings for the Winter Games are pretty much equal to the Summer Games when they start on our television screens in Oz on the 6th of February.
We love it. You mentioned the bobsledding again. Cool Runnings was what got us all into bobsledding when we were younger, an amazing movie. And there's this one moment where the Jamaicans come out onto the ice and everyone's laughing at them. Do the Aussies get that a bit? Because we're known more for the summer vibes rather than the winter vibes down under.
Yeah, I see where you're going with your line of questioning there. I think that was ancient history where the Australian Winter Olympic team was compared to Eddie the Eagle or the Jamaican bobsled team. We're just talking about all these medal contenders. And, since the inception of the Olympic Winter Institute, which started back in the 90s, Australia's punched above its weight pretty much since then. And, I'm I'm proud to say that I won a bronze and a gold for Australia in the Winter Olympics. And
yes,
you know, athletes like myself and Elisa Camplin and Lydia Lassiter have sort of paved the way. And, you know, we've got a whole new generation of Aussie stars that, you know, may not be on our television screens all the time, but when the biggest stage in the world comes around, everyone wants to sit up and have a look.
That's
right. Yeah, that's it. We're all very excited for it, particularly looking forward to seeing Bree Walker bring home a yellow medal in the women's mono bob. We've got a champion women's mono brow here in the studio with Loggy.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you know, that's a win for us as well.
A pair of tweezers can't fix that.
Thanks, Stephen.
Be pretty heavy duty tweezers, mate. Stephen Bradbury, thanks for your time this morning. All the best in Milan.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I was at the village just briefly yesterday in Cario.
Nice.
Had a bit of a situation that I sort of maybe almost feel like I should apologise for. So
you're always pissing people off down there.
I know.
You really are.
I know. And it's probably partly because I go straight from, because the gym's there and I go straight in and I have no sleeves. Like, and I feel like a real hero walking around there, but I don't.
I've heard reports that you feel like a real hero walking out of there and that you'll make sure you do the shopping afterwards because you're jacked.
No, that's not. Usually I'll bring a jumper, but it's summer. And so I forget.
Hey, summer.
Sun's out, guns out, guys.
Sun's out. Could I wear a t-shirt? No. Must have a singlet. Do you have the big cuts down the side? Are you rolling that at the moment?
Yes.
You're not.
I do have the...
Tom, no, are you joking right now? Because this is serious.
What do you mean?
This is... Are you honestly...
I've got the singlets. They're like a sleeveless T-shirt that
stringlet.
Has... No. A stringlet's like the tiny little strap, like spaghetti strap.
Yeah, but still,
no,
the main focus of it is...
It's a T-shirt, but it's like it's a cut... Like it cuts down to sort of my hip, sort of... Some of them, not all of them.
No. I don't know you anymore. We used to laugh at people like that, and now...
It's good for circulation, for air.
Look what you've become.
We never laughed at people like that. We laughed at lots of people, but not that. Nah. I don't think we've done that one.
Okay.
We can if you like.
No. But it used to be our thing, and now you've changed, and you're a bro.
Yeah, no, so sorry. So that's the first thing I need to apologise. Apologise for walking around Cryo Village looking like a huge tosser. But yesterday, as I was walking in, like we run into people that we know around town and, you know, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And as I walked in from the gym behind me, I heard a lady go, "Hello, Tommy. Hey, Tommy."
Uh-huh.
Whatever. And so...
When you turned around, was it your whole body that turned around at once because you couldn't move your neck because you're so
like
jacked?
Yeah, like my arms are out here because they
and you just went,
No.
Are you talking to me?
No, but I turned around and smiled, and as I turned around and smiled, I sort of clocked that it was a couple of ladies and a group of kids.
Yeah.
And they must have run into each other as they were coming into the village. And the little boy at the front's name is Tommy because the lady who just said immediately followed up with "Happy birthday, Tommy!" Happy, and I've turned around, given him a big smile, and gone, "Oh, it's not me," and turned around again.
Walking
like, "Oh, well, what do you do? Do you stop and go, sorry to be weird?
Yeah,
that was a weird look for me to."
There was someone behind it, like, "I'll catch you next week."
But my name is also Tom, so you understand my confusion.
Oh, honey.
And then to add to that,
it's more.
I did my shopping, and as I was walking around the other side near Woolies, one of our mutual friends walked past, who I haven't seen in ages, and I almost didn't recognise her, and said, "G'day, Tommy." She walked past, and I was like, "How?" Like, no one calls me Tommy.
No.
So for that to happen, it was almost like the universe was like, "You're okay, mate."
And so did you just completely cold shoulder her and just walk on?
A little bit. I was
it's not for me.
I was a little bit guarded.
It's not for
and
me.
Then I was like, "Oh," and I recognised who it was, and we were already like past each other and stuff. Like,
hey.
Equally as awkward, but it was almost like the universe was like, "Hey, I see you and I see what happened and that really did suck, but you're okay. I'm going to send you another one that is for you."
Are you sure she didn't say, "Wow, I don't recognise you because you're so jacked"?
Probably. It happens.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
Big weekend around the region. The MAPA Cadell Evans Great Ocean Road Race made its way around sort of Geelong Surf Coast.
Yes.
Right.
Fabulous and, time for all involved. Congratulations to all the winners.
Yes. And, you know, there was fans that dotted the road and sort of set themselves up in various ways right through the course and were there for the elite women's and also the elite men's races. Some more mobile than others, put it that way.
Yeah, some had, you know, were out the front of their tiny houses and some were on their farmland.
Yes.
Because the farmland stretched so far, they could ride their dirt bikes alongside the cyclists as the cyclists were running past.
Yeah.
Or riding past, I should say.
And the coverage on the telly picked it up.
Maybe we've had a crash on the motorbike. The one doing the mono at the front is fine, but he's up and walking, so that is good news.
So that was on the first day, right?
Yeah, on the
Saturday. There was two motorbike riders. The first one was fine. The second one, they were both popping monos. Second one went down. Bang. Mm. And we were like, oh, God, are they okay? Well, then the following day, both riders were back. The one that hurt themselves, though, had a different approach.
Well, that's one way to do a mono without crashing. Lock yourself in on the back of the ute.
It looks like he's got his leg bandaged up from yesterday. But you cannot keep a good man down.
They've put the red cross on the roof and all. And he has got the leg bandaged up. Well played.
That's hilarious.
And his arm in a sling as well.
Can you get any more Australian than that?
No.
No. And we bloody loved it because if there's one thing you and I like is commitment to a bit.
Yes.
If you're going to make a joke, stick with it. See it through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been a bit of a process to track down these bike riders or this particular bike rider in question, but we believe we have him on the line now. Is that you, Hamish?
G'day, guys, yeah.
Hamish, standing
well
ovation,
done.
Mate.
Well done.
You are amazing. How does it feel to be the biggest celebrity out of the Cadell Evans Great Ocean Road Race?
Feels good, but I'm not sure if it's the way I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
No. So, look, we've got so many questions. First time riding a motorbike, was it?
No, I've been riding for a couple of years, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was your farm, or where is your farm?
It's out Belver Road in Mount Moriac.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, right. Now, when you fell down, you fell hard. Are you okay? What's the latest?
I was in hospital for a day and a half.
Oh, wow. Right.
And
my whole leg's bandaged up.
Have you got
my back?
Have you got, did you break anything?
No.
Oh,
thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't seem like is this the first time you did this, or did you do it last year as well, or am I imagining that?
I've been doing it for a while. I remember I've done it on the back of a buggy with my cousins.
Yeah.
And I was holding the flag up, and then I did it last year again.
Yeah.
And I actually fell off last year, but they didn't catch it.
Oh. Well, the cameraman kind of missed you falling too. They had one job, focus on you instead of the riders, which was a bit annoying. But the day after, you came back, and we're very impressed. You were on the back of the ute. Whose idea was this?
It was my Auntie Paula's.
Classic Auntie Paula. Good on you, Paula.
Stitchy.
It seems, though, that not everything was as it seems. A bit of magic happened because if you fell on the Saturday, but you were in hospital. When were you in hospital, Hamish?
Oh, Saturday night, nor Sunday.
All of Sunday. So that means, how were you in hospital but also strapped to the back of the ute on the back of your bike with your leg in a brace?
Oh, there's a genie called James.
Oh.
Like a body double.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've got James on the line as well. James, good morning.
Morning, guys.
James, are you upset that Hamish is getting all the gold for this?
No. Actually, I just thought to myself, I better, you know, stick up for the family name here. He's embarrassed the family, you know, on live television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, gotta dress up as him. He's all good, you know, wear the same shirt, put his helmet on.
Yes.
Yeah. And show that he's still standing.
That was incredible work by both of you, to be honest. But how long did it take to then execute that, to strap the bike on, to get your brace on your leg, to paint the red cross on the car and everything?
It didn't take too long. Me and my brother just lifted the bike up, tied it down. Got a couple first aid kits around, so bandaged me up. And then, Mum decided the helicopter would look good if there was a red cross on the top of the ute. So, yeah.
Shout out to Paula. She's the real hero in this. So where to now, boys? Are we going to take this show on tour? Like, what are we thinking? How are we going to cash in on this? James, are you thinking maybe some bandaged ute riders could all get together next year and follow the same ride?
Don't know. Maybe a good start's probably not to crash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hamish should probably learn how to do that.
Yeah. Or Hamish, do you want to say anything back to those fighting words?
Well, I've personally never seen you do a wheelie, James.
He's got you there, James. I've got no evidence, but he's got you there. So both of you, so first Hamish maybe, do you plan to do this again next year?
Oh, yeah, me and Miller will be back out and same time next year.
Okay. Yeah.
Just one last question, sorry. How do you time it so that you link up with the peloton? Do you have someone ahead of the pack that warns you, hey, they're 1 minute away?
I usually just sit up in the house and watch the TV until I get onto Considine Road, which is the road just across the highway there.
Yeah.
And I'll just race down and get ready.
Yeah.
Love it so much. Yeah. Hamish and James, you're both fabulous. And we're so glad that you're okay, Hamish, or as okay as you can be. You're out of hospital.
Yeah.
You're feeling good. And you are getting all the praise, even though, James, you are sort of the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And we think you're both fabulous. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, yours.
See you next year, boys.
Yeah, cheers.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Want to hear from mystery shoppers specifically. I mean, we can discuss being mystery shopped also if you'd like on 52232955. But I met someone recently who shall remain anonymous in case she wants to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that she was a mystery shopper. She actually really enjoyed it. And there were times when she particularly mentioned this particular homewares sort of store that she would go into, a slightly higher end, and they would just clip her. They would just ignore her.
Because she was quite young when she was doing it too.
So she wasn't on demo, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what they assumed. And then she would leave and she'd be like 00000.
It must feel so good if no one says hi to you or anything, which sometimes I actually don't mind, to be honest. It depends on the situation. But as a mystery shopper, the rules are written in ink.
Yeah.
And there's certain rules retail staff have to abide by. Let's go to Kerry from Norlane. Anonymous.
From Norlane.
Nah. Hi, Kylie from...
Cario?
Norville. Did you want to remain anonymous?
No, it doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't, does it? But tell us, are you currently a mystery shopper or have you been?
No, I was. I was last year.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Okay. What was it like?
It was exciting at first. You thought, I'm a spy.
Yeah.
But,
ASIO.
The jobs I got, I did say that, next step ATO, but the jobs I did get were telcos, which was quite entailed and boring, but the reports had to be really long, and they make you get an ABN so that they don't actually pay you as an employee, so they can get away with $17 jobs and things like that, which is a problem in the industries, in the truck industries now and stuff, with what they're doing with that. So I wondered how they could get away with it.
It's like a gig economy sort of issue.
Yeah, but I just wanted to write my petrol off because I was working private and disability. So I thought this will be fun, like a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you get incentive for like a discount or anything at the stores that you go to as well?
Well, every now and then, like, there was Chanel in Melbourne, and they offer, sometimes you get a shopping allowance.
Nice.
At Chanel.
Yeah, and they, so yeah, they're like... and they had, well, they had more better paying ones. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
But that'd be fun, but, because it's like, here's this $2,000 bag and we'll give you $10 off.
Yeah.
No, some places actually you get a shopping allowance, so you can go in and shop. And
get some, oh. Yeah, because, well, you got to pretend like you're buying. You got to pretend like you're a real customer, don't you? So, yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds like the only good bit about the job so far, Kerry. That the rest of it sounds awful.
Oh, and being the spy part, that's fun.
That's cool,
you know.
Too.
It's a bit sexy.
I
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
You could sort of run in commando style, crawl across the shop.
Well,
I'd rather you don't crawl anywhere commando place.
You won't be a mystery for long there.
Please, a bit more mystery.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.